You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The Motor Zone is proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont. Call us on 021-569-6800 to book a test drive and we'll come to you. Are you on the lookout for a budget-friendly sport utility vehicle that exceeds your expectations? Look no further than Mahindra Claremont. Our vehicles will pleasantly surprise you, but to truly believe it, you need to experience them firsthand. Give us a call at 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to schedule a test drive, and we'll bring the experience to you. And here's an exclusive deal for Zone Radio listeners. Secure the Mahindra XUV 700 AX5 for just 419,999 Rand, saving you a remarkable 60,000 Rand. And we'll include a free safety film worth 3,500 Rand. Don't let this incredible offer pass you by. Mahindra Claremont will redefine your expectations in affordable SUVs.
It's 10:30 and time for the Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Good morning, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, morning. Hope everybody's okay after the week. And last week was terrible, but this week is starting off nicely, so yay.
Finally, that wind was, you know. Yeah,
it was blowing places where it shouldn't have blown, and yes. I was laying on the floor. So, yes. Yeah, but no, as long as I had a beanie on.
These last 3 days have been awesome.
Yes, so. Oh, yes. No, we don't know. The weather will change all the time, so it doesn't really matter.
Four seasons in a day.
Oh, yes. Well, that's one thing we hope everybody has been keeping in touch with, is looking after their cars, especially like I mentioned last time, the weather's changing. So we just thought this one first thing we'll start off quickly with. Extend the life of your car. So everybody knows that. Read the owner's manual. Most people don't read the owner's manual. They think it's a waste of time. Just go through things if you're not sure how things operate on the car. So just go if you see something button doesn't work. I know my wife doesn't go through hers, even though she's had it for a while. It's worth it. If you're not sure of how the things work, just read the manual. Manual will try and explain to you. If you go into the manuals nowadays, it'll actually teach you how to drive a car. That particular car. Whereas, because I don't know if you remember years ago, your book was only about yay thin.
Now it's very thick.
Now it's very thick. They teach the people how to drive a car. That's how much they put information they put in there. So if you read it, you will know everything about a motor vehicle.
But we also need to be careful not to get confused, because I also did some reading, remember? And I had to give you a call.
Yeah.
And this red light, to me, red danger, meanwhile it wasn't. So we also need to, you know,
there's
understand.
There's so many warning lights. There's so many warning lights. Like the easiest is, if you're not sure of a new car, go in and ask the guys. The guys should go through everything with you before you take the car.
But they don't.
He's a salesman, but he should know his product. And if you ask him a question, he should tell you straight away. So read that. Take good care of your car. The biggest thing is put your fuel, the correct fuels in the car, especially the diesels. Diesels don't like 50 ppm. The newer vehicles, they like a 10 ppm. So the lower the ppm's particle per million of sulfur, keep it lower down, especially the newer type injectors and the way they've they put AdBlue into the system, and you've got an EGR, and you've got a diesel particulate filter. All these things can get clogged up into the system. I'll go through that in 2 weeks' time. I'll go through with.
So at the petrol stations, do they have different diesel tanks?
Yeah, well, they have different types of diesel. Different garages sell different PPMs of diesel. So you get a 50 ppm, a 10 ppm, and very low sulfur.
Yes.
It is more expensive. But even the newer trucks can only use a certain thing because of the way the diesel systems are designed, and also for emissions as well. So the diesel particulate filter and the EGR all get blocked. Exhaust gas recycling system, I've mentioned that before. And
yes,
the DPF is a diesel particulate filter. It goes before the catalytic converter. It's a filter that picks up all the soot. These things can get blocked. But I'll go through that because it's quite a complicated thing there. Not really complicated, but it'll be good to know about it. Check your battery, because we're now getting into cold weather, warm weather. Anything can happen. Don't leave your lights on. Try and remember that. Unfortunately, we all do it, so it's not a problem. good visibility because of the weather as well. Remember, clean the inside and the outside of your windows. Make sure your wiper blades are nice and clean and everything works properly. Get to know, a lot of people still don't know if you put your aircon on, it defrosts the car. A lot, you'll be surprised. People don't know this. I think because they put the heater on, it's going to defrost the windscreen. Whereas you put your aircon on, boom, it's gone in a couple of seconds. Use online forums. If you're not insuring something, and this is quite handy, sometimes the online forum can give you some advice about the car that you didn't know. You might find a problem. Like you say, you might be find a light in the car. Go and Google it. Google will not always tell you the correct thing, but it'll just give you the information of what you need to know. You can download all those the warning lights that your car has, and you can just see it. This is what it says. A lot of times the guys will say, if this is wrong, take to the agents. This is wrong, take to the agents. Let's all go to see someone that knows what's going on. So they've got a computer. The computer's got to go onto it. And like I said before, the computer won't always tell you 100% what's wrong. It'll give you an idea, but it can be other things that are causing as well. Another one, check all your fluids. So air filter, your radiator, engine oil, power steering oil if it's got... even your washer fluid. Keep your washer fluid and go and buy a little bottle of windscreen washer fluid. It's got like alcohol in it, so it'll clean all that the gunk off the windscreen, especially with the salts and things like that.
Do you add that to the water?
Water, yeah, inside for your windscreen washer sprays. It'll help. It just removes bugs. It cleans the windscreen quite nice. It's got soap and everything in it, and it helps to take it off. They use it overseas, especially in the icy conditions. Because it's got alcohol and it breaks down the ice. We just wanted to break down the gunk on the road. Do it with good wipers. It's better. Automatics. A lot of the cars don't have dipsticks anymore for the automatic, so you'd have to go to someone that specializes in automatics or the agents to have the fluids changed as well in the automatics. I would recommend about 150,000 Ks to have it changed. They say it's a long life oil, or lifespan of the car. No, it doesn't. Mm. A lot of people will tell you rather just change it earlier. It is expensive, but it will save your car and help the gear change. Because these are 7 or 8 speed gearbox, automatic gearboxes, the latest ones, it'll just keep it going for a lot longer.
So how many kilometers do you need to ride before you actually...
Well, your automatic is about... every car you should check every... Depending on the mileage of your car.
Yes.
Not every time you fill up.
Yeah.
It's not... If you're noticing you're starting to use oil, get someone to check it. But if you check it every time, and like I still say, it should be before you get to the garage. First thing in the morning, take the dipstick out. Yes. A lot of the newer cars have a self-service thing on it, but you also got to run the car for X amount of time before it tells you if the oil's full or not. But read the manual. It'll tell you how to do it. It does tell you, and it does show you how to do it. Don't open the radiator when it's hot. There are always stickers that warn you. Please do not open when hot. Yet the garages still do it because people want them to do it. Don't. Do it. Do it when it's cold. It's their warning systems for a reason.
So it's first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning, cold. Do it on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning after church, before church actually. I don't go, but yeah, so it's just certain things. You know, take a rag, keep a rag with you, have a look around. Look for certain things around the engine compartment. Might see rat droppings around the engine because now it's getting colder, so they're looking for some warmth. And have a look for that. If you see that, you've got a problem. Because they can chew wires, damage things, and they'll sit under the covers. I mean, we've seen them inside the engine.
Really?
Inside the engine and inside the cluster, the inside of the car.
How do they manage to get into those little gadgets?
Well, the problem is there's holes in cars all over. That you just don't realize it. But it's got to suck air from somewhere, and they use these little in the vents and that, and they get in and they go and sit and put it into where the fan motor is. They get in there and they destroy everything. So be careful. But if you see the rat droppings around, go and get somebody to take it away. You can get spray. I've mentioned before, you can get a liquid molly spray for that, or you can get some rat poison to put in. I wouldn't recommend rat poison too much. Because your cat or what if you've got cats can cause a problem. Try and get that stuff. It'll try and chase them away. Another thing is dog food. If you're parking garage, watch out for the dog food. Cat food. That'll also give you an advice, a thing to see if there's rat droppings around there. Listen to your car. I always said before, the car will talk to you, so you have a conversation. If you feel your brakes, especially you feel your brakes, if your brakes are starting to go, there's normally little sounds, a heartbeat screaming sound, squealing sound from the brakes, a little pin that attaches onto the disc. It's an early warning system that your brakes are on its way out, or you might start to feel a grinding sound. You'll actually feel it grinding through the pedal as well, very lightly, and then, you know, brake pads on its way out. If you've got a handbrake, oh, you always got a handbrake, but I'm talking nonsense about. If your handbrake light starts to come on, you'll see the little red light will start to flash on certain angles. What's happening is the brake fluid, the brake pads are worn, the brake fluid's taking up the space, and the brake fluid's going short. Don't go and fill it up, because you've got to find out, number one, do I have a leak, or number two, do I have brakes that need to
be
replaced?
Get that sorted.
Get that sorted. Yes. Go and have someone. That's an early warning system. If you read your book, it will tell you those two things.
But if these newer cars, they actually talk to you. They come on the screen and they tell you exactly what's going on. But for the rest of us, we need to read our book.
Read our book. Even with the newer ones, that people have, even with all this information that you're getting, you still need to know, understand what it's telling you.
Yes.
So it'll tell you brake pads are worn, left rear tail light is broken. But a lot of times this can be, well, globe's gone. It tells you it works on resistances. But the problem lies is sometimes a rat can chew a wire. And that can cause it to come on.
Yes.
But you could have that chew one wire, and for instance, it might be a positive. It goes to a couple of things that cause all types of chaos, or a positive and negative are just as important a car as anything else. And that can cause major problems with the control units.
And it'll be very costly.
Not always, as long as you've got someone that can be quite quick to fix, but it depends how it gets fixed and what is damaged. But that's what I say. If you see those rat droppings, that's why it's better for you. Because the garage is not going to tell you, sorry, you can see that poop.
So the rat, the droppings will be under the bonnet?
Under the bonnet somewhere. And you can actually sometimes, if you're in a dusty place, you'll actually see little feet marks over the plastic covers or something like that. You will see it. Then you know, get something to get rid of them because they can cause major, major damage. Another thing, rotate your tires. Between 8,000 and 10,000 kilometers, I recommend rotate back to front. It'll help you. Sometimes you can't do it because maybe the back tires aren't the same as the front tires, but if they are the same all the way around, front to back, back to front, and you can have them balanced, that's fine. It just makes it smoother. Now I think it's automatics. There's a lot of automatics out there. And people stay on hills. Before you put it into park, make sure your handbrake is engaged first and then select the lever into park or push the button into park. What happens is in automatic gearbox is like a gear, and there's a pin that fits. It goes into this gear once you put it into park.
Yes.
It's a safety pin. But the problem lies is if you stay on a deep downhill, these pins can only take X amount of weight. So the best is always pull the handbrake, then engage park. Okay. They will always tell you in the service book, it will tell you as well.
See, that's something I've learned now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is, even your car, pull handbrake first, put your foot down hard on the brake, pull your handbrake, and then you can leave it in gear as well.
Right. What gear do you suggest if you are downhill?
Downhill, still reverse.
Reverse, yeah.
Put it into reverse. It doesn't really matter. It shouldn't go anywhere if your brakes are working correctly. But sometimes certain cars don't have the greatest of handbrakes. It doesn't matter how you adjust it.
We had an incident recently because, you know, we're on a hill.
Oh, yeah. You terrible one.
There was a terrible one. There was a runaway. Shame. The brakes failed, and luckily he avoided our. We had an experience before that it didn't, and you know, we paid a price with our cars being.
No, that's a problem.
But now, this one, shame, he really tried his best to leave the vehicle, so he took someone's fence out and.
Well, that's safe enough. You know, if he's trying to do it, the problem lies is, like I say, it's always maintenance. Maintenance costs everything. If you're not sure, take it to someone.
Yes.
A lot of times, the people can't afford garages, they try to do it themselves. There's certain tricks to the trade that we see that, I had another car. Guy took it, bought it secondhand. I'm not going to mention any names. He bought the car. He was looking for a job, but they said that the car has to go through Dekra Roadworthy.
Mm-hmm.
He took it there. Dekra failed on a couple of things. It was rear control on bushes and things like this, and the handbrake. And he bought it from a dealer down in the car. And what happened is we did ordered the bushes. The bushes are quite expensive. You've got to take. You don't have to take the whole rear axle out, but I had to take it out because I didn't have the special tools to do it. But I still made a plan, and it's done. So I went to come to the handbrake. So I took the handbrake, the drums off to have a look at this. Whoever did this work before lost special little clips, the special little adjustment plates. It's a self-adjuster, and what these guys done is they didn't adjust it properly. And what happens is if it's not on there, it winds itself down through vibration.
Yes.
The guys, so I said, okay, let me see what – I always disconnect. I always loosen off the handbrake cable first. I always start off number one, handbrake cable comes off. So it goes to neutral, and then I go and adjust the shoes first, then adjust the cables.
Yeah.
But this one, the guys had actually bent the pin for the – they'd bent it to shorten it to so the handbrake could work. But the handbrake had been through road with this car. Now, this car had been through road with it through somebody else. The left rear wheel didn't even have – didn't even stop. It just carried on turning. So this guy cocked up everything, you know. But I blame the dealer. Why don't you take shortcuts? Because it'll come back and bite you in the ass. You know, if someone's going to buy a car that they and this guy's buying the car for a job he's going to get,
yes,
please don't rip the guys off. It's terrible. I mean, the handbrake was, I said to him, it was shocking. It was absolutely, it's one of the worst I've seen adjusted. But I know these guys have taken it to one of their chummies before they trade the car and try and do this. But meantime, it's one of the simplest systems and they hardly ever go out. Done properly, it works 100%. But now he's had to do a cost of it himself. He's had to pay for this out of his pocket because the dealer said, no, it's too roadworthy. It should never have been allowed to roadworthy in the first place. Nothing wrong with the car. Just all the adjustments were out and there were certain rubbers that were broken. So just make sure if you're not happy with the roadworthy that the dealers are giving you, let them take it to somewhere else that won't be. Because they might be having, they're still being bought, unfortunately, even though we try not to. Take it to somewhere you know you can trust the guy or you've heard good things that he does a good job at roadworthying the car and he doesn't miss anything. Sometimes it can be a pain in the backside for us mechanics because we've got to end up repairing it. But at the end of the day, it's safety on the road.
Yeah, but you trust in the agent and the dealer. You trust in them. I mean, you purchased the vehicle from them and they put it through roadworthy before you
Before you can sign anything.
Yes. So that's sad to hear.
Oh, yeah. And that was very, not only that, the guy didn't have any lock bolt. The wheel spanner didn't fit the bolts of the, on the wheels. So if he got stuck, he would have been stuck. I had to take him off with a special thing I used to get broken. Well, I couldn't even get the word, not even special sockets that you needed for it. It wasn't even in the car.
So do you suggest that once you've left the dealer and they say it's been passed roadworthy, do you suggest you should take it yourself? Just to do a run-through?
No. You should just – it's difficult to say that one. I just think you should ask the dealer who he took it to. That is the biggest concern. And if you're not happy with him, tell him you want to send it to – you'll say, oh, no, it's been through a road really. Who did you take it to, sir?
That's important.
Because you, at the end of the day, you are the customer. You're the client. You're the one that's put the safety of your family – in the back seat of that car or the front seat of the car. You buy, or you might be buying it for a first time, first car for yourself. And this guy's doing you the nasty. And you won't pick it up now. You'll pick it up when you think it's due for a service. You go there and the mechanics are, you need this, 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 and this. But the car was done roadworthy 5,000 or 10,000 Ks ago. You're the one that's going to end up spending it.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah, unfortunately, we do get the shocks in the dark and we get these people. But, yeah, just look at these things. And like I say, if you're not sure, take it to someone who will look at it and do it properly. Okay, you got all that. So don't ignore small problems on your car. Always, if there's a small problem, look into it. Find out what it is or find out what it might be. And have a look at these things. Give your car love. If you look after your car is going to look after you. That's always been my philosophy. If you clean it, that's another thing. Not always the best. Sometimes you can't just clean it the way that hasn't been the greatest. But it's nice just to take. You don't always have to do it. You can take it somewhere to do it. But while they're doing it, you can walk around the car. And you can spot things if you don't want to do it yourself. But it is good fun to teach the youngsters how to wash a car. You know, so they can look at things. Oh, there's a scratch here. There's a thing there. I mean, I pick up dents on the wife's car that people, you know, people open the doors and.
Especially our wind.
Yeah, especially our wind. But, you know, and so it's just, it pees me off, but that's unfortunate the way it does go. I can't blame everybody because sometimes it happens to you, but you try not to do it as much. So just be careful. Look after everybody's cars if it's your own.
Yes.
That's what I say. So, yeah, do that.
I like that one.
So, yeah, that's the easiest way. Look after it like it's your own. I try to treat the customer's cars the same as it's mine. So I try to do the same as thing. People say mechanics don't look after their cars. No, I do. It's got to look after me. I don't want to buy something later every 6 months or something. I want to just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going.
And that's by regular services.
Yep.
And you've just made mention, you've dotted, you know, all the important things to do around your car.
Look around it and go from there. So, it's just like if you look after your car, car will look after you.
Yes.
It's the same as your house. You don't want a dirty house. Don't have a dirty car. Would you leave your papers laying around? Would you leave your stompies laying around if you're a smoker? So be careful. And remember, if you are a smoker in your car, the front, the windscreens and the windows tend to get that glaze on it. So when the sun comes down, you'll actually see that misty haze on there. Go and get some good window cleaner, good rags, clean the inside of your window, and don't forget your mirrors. People forget your mirrors. You will never, I'm telling you now, you'll see the glaze on the mirrors as well. Keep your car clean as you will your house. Easiest way. So don't treat your car like a bathroom or a toilet. Put it that way. All right. Then there was something else. It was quite interesting. I was watching something on YouTube, and I picked up this guy from Australia. And he actually, not that I'm keen on Australians, but he actually kept a good, valid point here.
He made sense, did he?
He made a good, very, very good point that we tend to overlook, especially with the newer vehicles as well, and the older ones. But the older ones don't tend to be as worn out as the newer ones. Because the newer ones are very complicated, their suspension systems, their engines, inside the car, etc. He said, if you're buying a car that is now finished out of maintenance plan, so you're going to buy a second-hand car, it's still going to be expensive. So you're going to out and buy an Audi A1. It's done 105,000 kilometers. It's had its maintenance plan up to 105,000 or 100,000 kilometers, normally 80 to 100,000 kilometers, somewhere around there, on Mercedes-Benz, Audi, whatever. Find out what happens to the vehicle after this mileage. So you got to go and Google it. Is just as good, because you can go and find out what problems people have found suspension-wise. So we'll check. We'll go out. The reason I'm telling you this is because a lot of the vehicles, the service intervals are quite far apart, and that's not what you want. You don't want anything over 15,000 kilometers on a service plan. It should be maximum 15,000 Ks. They should change the oil and oil filter. Because anything after that, what happens is the oil starts to break down. And the breathing system inside the engines contaminate the engine and it gets gunk. And I'm telling you, people, you cannot believe what comes. You can stand here with a scraper. It looks like honey. It starts to build up if the people don't service their vehicles, especially diesel and petrols. But it's the breathing system in the vehicles, all the soot, and it builds up inside the engine and it causes everything to contaminate. And it starts blocking off the oil feed to the camshafts, the cranks, oil filter, things like that. So those will start to seize and start to go. So if it hasn't been serviced properly, that's the big thing. So you might go out and start the car. It sounds beautifully. It goes beautifully. 20,000 Ks down the road, the engine seizes. Bang. You are sitting with a lot of money because something like this happens. So look at that. Find out what the mileage is and Google it. Google will tell you a lot in the thing. So you got an Audi A1, a BMW M3, X3, X4, whatever. What goes after 100,000 kilometers? Because someone's traded it in because the maintenance plan is thing. You can also find out if you can extend it or get an extended warranty on the thing to try and cover if something does go wrong. So you've got some if major issues on the like a turbocharger or a supercharger or something like that goes wrong, that's major money. And so you can see if you might be able to save some money on that. But look into these things before you just go into it. Might look good. It's like I said, the book doesn't always correspond to what's inside. So have a look at that. It's very, very important before you go out and buy it, because it could end up costing you an absolute fortune. You can just afford to get the car. Then you've got these major service issues on a car, and you can't afford to get it fixed properly. Suspension-wise, the suspensions can go because of the rubbers. They get worn out, and they're very, very complicated suspensions with multi-link suspensions and things like that. So it can cost a lot of money to fix. So have a look at that as well. That's why it's good to take it to a good roadworthy place. If you're not sure, you can do it yourself. Make sure the timing belt or timing chains, sometimes the timing chains stretch and they've also got to be replaced the same as the timing cam belt, timing belt, especially on the Fords. And I think, how do you, starting to use them as well. They're called the wet timing belts. On the Eco Bombs, they call them, at the Eco Boost cars, the 1000cc three cylinders, that, like I said before, when Ford first designed, they said 200 and something odd thousand Ks to do the timing belts, because they sit behind covers. It's about a 14-hour job to do it. And if you're thinking about agents charging R1,000 an hour, it's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So they brought it down. Then they brought it down to 180. They found they were still breaking. They were prematurely breaking. And then they brought it down. Now, apparently in the UK, they're saying 100,000 kilometers have it done. So between 100 and 110, if you've got an EcoBoost, 1,000cc, three-cylinder Ford motor, go and have your timing belts replaced. Because what happens is the pieces start to break off the timing belt. They start to disintegrate. And it gets sucked up into the oil pickup pump. And it's got like a little sieve in it. And that sieve gets blocked. So what happens is, if it gets no oil pressure, the engine seizes. So you might need a new engine. Rather do it early. If you see your oil light flicker, stop.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you that. You wouldn't know it happens because it makes like a funny sound.
It goes quick.
And goes quick. So I know many of us, and I had that experience moons ago. I tried to start, and that was the big mistake, because then it's
already
a damage. But I had no idea. I learned fast though.
But it cost you money.
Yeah, but it was the cam belt.
Yeah.
You know, so, and
those are the older ones. That the were older. Very, yeah, so yes. They weren't that bad. They're still bad to do. Yeah, but the newer ones, these, like I say, the Ford and that, you're looking at 14 hours labor.
Yeah. Does it make a sound now? Because before it just went shoo.
It won't make a sound.
No sound. So,
but what happens is these things start, like I say, they start to break down. Because it's all sealed. It's covered in oil. So it's part of the engine, inside the engine. And you won't see it. But if the oil light starts to come on, it starts to flash on these little
switch off.
Phone insurance, or get someone safe to pull over. Don't drive it. Tow it to the agents, or tow it to someone that can do it for you. And I guarantee you, it's a timing belt that needs to be replaced.
So if your oil light comes on, for any reason, you need to stop.
You need to stop. That tells you lack of oil.
Stop immediately.
Stop it. Topping up of oil won't help, because it's not always necessary. Be lack of oil.
Well, it's best to just leave it alone and get it towed and get it sorted. Because if you try yourself,
it's going to be expensive.
You also don't know what the oil light's coming on for.
Look at that. I mean, it could even be, like I said, it could still be a rat chewing the wires. But go and have it done, checked out properly. Oil light, and that flash starts to flash. It costs you money. Make sure as well, also when you're buying these cars, make sure the turbocharger and the supercharger, if it's a supercharger, the oil's been changed on the supercharger, or if it needs to have a service done. On the minis and other superchargers, only had to have a major service done at about 150,000 kilometers, but it was a lot of money to have it done. So you've got to look into these things as well, because it can cost you a lot of money. Like I said earlier, the gearbox servicing, automatic gearboxes, you can only take it to certain people. Like the Mercedes-Benz, have got a certain length dipstick, and you can't do it yourself. You've got to take it. I can't even do it. So I don't do the Mercedes gearboxes. Check and see what the price of tires are for your car, for that car, before you go and buy. Because it might have run flats, and you might say, oh, no, it's a lovely car. The tires look good. Find out the price of the cost of replacing the tires. Do you want the car with those run flats or not? Then go and take another car that doesn't have run flats, because run flats are extremely expensive.
What is the difference with run flats and normal?
Run flats, you can drive a certain distance. You get a puncture, you can drive a certain distance and go and get the tire fixed. But 90% of the time, the tire just gets destroyed. So it doesn't go flat. So it's just like an emergency built-in. It'll tell you, it's got a little on the cluster, and that'll have a little gauge. It'll tell you the air pressures of the tire, so you can start keeping up. And that's another thing, is if you start seeing your pressures go down on your tires, if it's got the warning lights for your air pressure on the tires, if one goes down quite often, go and have it checked. You might have a nail or screw or something, especially a lot of building in your area or something like that. A lot of times you get screws.
And then air in tires is very important, because usually in the door.
It'll tell you the correct pressure.
It'll tell you, and must you go according to that pressure?
Read the survey, the book. Okay. The book will tell you. That's what you're aiming at. That's what you want to do.
Because many of us, I mean, we come to, you know, Hey, please come here, have air and tires.
Yeah.
And then they say, what? And then you look at them, but it's in your door.
It's in your door, or sometimes you even used to put it by the fuel flap, but it's always in your service book as well. You can go there and say, you know, 1.8, 1.9 right round, or you're going to go on holiday, or you're taking an extra couple of people, 2.2 at the back, what, 2 in the front, a little bit. Yeah, I think. So we've been talking so much, we almost got time up already.
Yes, oh, my goodness. Yes, time is up for us.
Get the price of your brake pads, price of insurance as well, and see if you can't do extended service plan. But find out also insurance and what the theft rate is of a car before you decide to go and buy it. That's my pieces of useless information for today.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
James, you want to give out your number, your contact number, please?
081-070-4919. I know it offhand now.
Oh, you do. And that is James Donicky from JSJ Motors. Cheers. James, see you in 2 weeks' time.
Good.
Ciao.
The Motor Zone was proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont, redefining your motoring expectations.
Revolutionize your work with the Mahindra S4 single cab from Mahindra Claremont, your go-to affordable and reliable workhorse. Priced at just 243,043 rand, excluding VAT, it's a steal. Call 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to book a test drive, and we'll bring the vehicle to you for a week-long test. And here's an exclusive offer for Zone Radio listeners. Enjoy free company branding of up to 5,000 Rand. Don't miss out on this unbeatable deal. Mahindra Claremont, where reliability meets affordability.